Those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, we understand a little bit about the providence of God. We have confidence that the Lord is caring for us and that He is concerned about us and that He is keeping us by His grace. None of us could be able to live the Christian life if it wasn't for His sustaining grace. He enables us. He helps us. And we know that we are part of His purpose, that we are part of His plan. And we know that all things ultimately will work together for good to them that love the Lord and them that are called according to His purpose. We also believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the end, when all things are said and done, He's going to receive all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. We believe that the Lord is going to be victorious, conquering all the wicked. We know that sin will be annihilated. We know the devil will be cast into the abyss. We know that in the end, that we are victorious, that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What a blessing it is to know the Lord. We know why we're here. We know how we got here. And we know what we're supposed to do while we're here. We're to serve Him. We're to glorify His name. And I invite you today, if you're visiting with us, if you truly know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And what we mean by that is if there was a time and a place in your life where you know that you had your sins blotted out. A time and place in your life where you were born again of the Spirit of God. A time and place in your life where you drank of the water of life freely. A time and place in your life where you repented of your sins and you were born again by His power and through His grace. If you have that time and place where you were separated from sin through the precious blood of Jesus Christ and you know the Lord and you're a child of God, we invite you to worship Him who saved you. Amen. Worship Him who bought you. Worship Him because He is worthy of all honor and all glory and praise. If you're here today and you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, if there's never been a time in your life where you repented of your sins, where you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ till you experienced the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, I pray that today will be your day of salvation. That you'll seek the Lord while He may be found, that you'll call upon Him while He is near, that you'll forsake your wicked ways, and that you'll experience the mercy and grace of God and the pardon of sin. You have to have your sins pardoned. Amen. The blood of Jesus has to be applied to your life. And so today is, I believe every day is the day of salvation. I believe the Lord wants to save people. And we invite you to call upon the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we invite you to do that, to seek the Lord, to call on the Lord, to know in your own heart that you've been saved, that you're a child of God. The Bible says His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You have to have a spiritual witness from above that you're saved. And so we hope that you experience, that's what we believe, right? And we sang that first song that God can be felt. Actually, the perception, the understanding, the consciousness of when you are saved, it's more than a feeling. Amen. It's an awareness. It's a perception that you've just been born again. It's a spiritual perception. God will deal with your spirit. Jesus said in the fourth chapter of John that God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship in spirit. They must worship with their spirits. They must worship with their soul, and it's in your soul that you have an awareness, a consciousness that you're saved. Amen. If somebody told you in your ear you're saved, that's not good enough. Amen. Yeah. If you figured it out with your mind, that's not good enough. Amen. Listen, you have to have His laws written in your heart. Amen. And only God can do that. Amen. Only God can do that. And so today, if you're lost and in your sins, I pray that you'll experience the greatest gift that's ever known, the greatest gift that's ever been, the greatest gift that ever will be, the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? What a blessing it is to know that we have, to know that we have eternal life. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. You know why? Because he has eternal life. There's life in Jesus Christ. As he lives, we live. Amen. He's alive. And we have life. What a blessing it is to know the Lord today. I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. I'm glad I had that spiritual perception when I was a 10-year-old boy. I found the Lord. I found the Lord. And I'm going to heaven. I know that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I'm in the Lord. The Lord's in me. Jesus said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, because he has passed from death unto life." Isn't that good? Shall not come into condemnation. A lot of people say, "Well, you know, how can you believe in eternal security because Jesus said so?" It's in the Word of God. He said, "A person who has passed from death unto life." And listen, when you pass from death unto life, when you pass from spiritual death unto spiritual life, you'll know it. You'll be the first one to know it. And he said, "Somebody who's experienced that, and I've experienced that." Yeah. I passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Listen, when I got saved, something happened inside of me that was from God. God awakened me. God gave me new life. When I got saved, there was something that came into me that wasn't there before. I passed from death unto life. And Jesus said, somebody who passes from death unto life shall never come under condemnation. Amen. It's the Word of God. Amen. We're saved. We're eternally saved. I'm proud of eternal security. Amen. Yeah, because Jesus keeps me. I don't keep myself. See, I'm not going to heaven because of something I did. I'm going to heaven because of what He did. He paid the sin debt for me. He died on a cruel cross for me. He shed His precious blood for me. Every sin that separates me from God was paid for by the precious atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm not going to heaven because of something I did. I'm going to heaven because of the merits of the cross. Yeah, Jesus saved me. And I'm going there not because of any works that I've done. Listen, if you got saved by works of righteousness that you have done, if you think you're saved by works of righteousness that you have done, you're still lost. Amen. We're not saved by works of righteousness that we have done. We're saved according to His mercy. It's mercy. It's grace. It's the undeserved and unmerited favor of God that we're saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm going to heaven. And I want you to go with me. Yeah, there are people here today in this house that have never been born again to the Spirit of God. Listen, in the days in which Jesus lived, when He walked among men, there were religious leaders that would come to Him. There were professors, there were theologians that would come to Him, and they were confused about being saved. They didn't know about what it meant to be born again. And Jesus would sit down with them and explain to them that that which is of flesh is flesh, and that which is of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He was sit down beside of a woman on a well in the 4th chapter of John, who had a life filled with sin. Hey, she lied to Jesus. She said she wasn't even married. She had had many men. She was probably a prostitute. And he sat next to her and he says, "The water that I've given to you, if you'll drink of this water, you'll never thirst again." And she drank of the water and was saved. There was a man that was thieving in his profession, a man by the name of Zacchaeus that climbed up in a sycamore tree one day, and Jesus passed by and said, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Today salvation has come to your house." And that man got saved up there in that tree. He stood up and said, "All the money that I've stolen from people, I will restore it unto them fourfold." Amen. Tell you, the man got saved. Yeah. A change occurred in his heart and life. I still believe that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and changes are being wrought in the hearts of men today. When you get saved, you'll become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. There will be a new awareness in your heart and your life. Actually, the Bible says that people get saved, they experience a heart transplant. The stony heart is removed. A heart of flesh is placed inside of them. What's that mean? That means that when you get saved, you'll suddenly be sensitive to the spiritual things of God. You'll want to join the church. You'll want to be baptized. You'll want to take the Lord's Supper. You'll want to give to the cause of Christ. You'll want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll want to follow the Lord. Amen. You want to serve the Lord. That desire is placed in you from being saved. Amen. Now there's a lot of men that are proselyting people. You know, convincing people to do stuff. Listen, if you don't have a heart change and a heart transplant first, then you don't need to be following the Lord. Amen. We have too many people trying to follow the Lord, and they're trying to serve the Lord with their works, and they're trying to follow the Lord in the energy of the flesh. Listen, we don't serve God in the energy of the flesh. We serve God with our hearts. Philip was experiencing a great revival over in Samaria. The Lord spoke to him and told him to go down into the desert, and he would find a man there that was reading the scriptures. Actually, that Ethiopian eunuch, he was searching for God. He went down, he knew that the God of Israel was the God of gods. He went down there to Israel, to where he drove to Jerusalem. Not drove, but rode on that, in that chariot all the way down to Jerusalem. He was seeking God. He wanted to know God. He was leaving there still empty, had never had his heart changed. Philip joined him in that chariot. He was searching the scriptures. Listen, I still believe that if you're seeking God, you not only need to go to church, but you need to read God's word. He was searching the scriptures, trying to find relief. Listen, if you get under conviction like I got under conviction, you'll be seeking relief. You want this burden lifted. You want this condemnation removed from your heart and life. He was under conviction. He was burdened. And Philip joined him in that chariot. And he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I understand this unless some men guide me?" Thank God for the preaching of the cross. Amen. Yes, by the foolishness of preaching, the Lord saves those that believe. Yes, the power of God. I'll tell you what the power of God is. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God in salvation to people who believe. Listen, you're going to have to believe the gospel. Amen. Philip began with the scriptures he was reading and told him about Jesus. You're reading about Jesus. He was bruised for our transgressions. Amen. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Listen, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He paid the sin debt for us. He explained that to that man in that chariot. That man got saved in that chariot. Just like today we have people that get saved in cars and in planes and in boats and in submarines. The Lord's everywhere. Amen. Yeah. He's everywhere. People get saved on their doorstep, in their bed, at work. Like Katie got saved in the hallway at school. We've had people get saved back there in the bathroom, out there in the parking lot. Listen, down in the fellowship hall, people get saved everywhere. Amen. He got saved in that chariot. And he wanted to get immediately. He had a change that occurred inside of him. He wanted to follow the Lord in baptism. He passed by some water and he said, "What here with me to be baptized?" I tell you something, when you get saved, there'll be a change inside of you and you want to follow the Lord. Yeah. He had believed with all of his heart. The heart is desperately wicked above men. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17 and 9. Listen, you're so wicked and wretched on the inside, you don't even understand your own self. Oh, but praise God, there's good news. See, it's the bad news that makes the good news good. There's good news. Jesus came to give you a new heart and a new life. He wants to give you righteousness. He wants to give you eternal life. Listen, the Bible says Abraham believed God
and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You read on down in there and it says that it was imputed unto him, and it's imputed unto us, that it, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sins and we believe on him with all of our heart, the imputed righteousness of Jesus is put inside of us. Listen, that cannot happen without you knowing it. The righteousness of Jesus imputed in us. Wow. Wow. Listen, there's nothing good about me, but there's a lot of good about Jesus. There's nothing righteous about me, but there's the righteousness of Jesus in me. I feel that. Don't you? I sense that. You know, when the evil is present with me, you know, Paul said that when I try to do good, evil is present with me. We know right and wrong, don't we? We know that when we're doing the will of God, that we're pleasing God. We know that there are things in our life that come up that's displeasing to God. And we need to stay true to the faith. Amen? We need to stand firm on the truths of God's holy word. I tell you, I'm just going to tell you what I believe. I believe we need to stand up for the Lord. If you're like Daniel, and you are a school teacher, or you work for the school, and you've in the past gone to the poll and prayed just like Daniel, it was his custom to open the window toward Jerusalem and pray. When the decree came down for him to stop, he didn't.
Amen.
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 We believe that if anybody enacts any kind of laws that's contrary to the Word of God, that we obey God rather than man. Oh, would I lose my job? Well, God gave you that job to begin with. It's time Christians stand up for what's right.
Amen.
Our forefathers, they believed that they were to follow Jesus Christ no matter what people said, no matter what kind of laws were enacted. When people told them to stop, they didn't do it. Jesus told you to let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If somebody tells you you can't let your light shine, I'll tell you what Daniel would have done. I'll tell you what the Old Testament people would have done, the New Testament people would have done. They would obey God rather than man. Even if it... I mean, they're not going to put you in jail. But if they did, if they were going to put you in jail, if they were able to do that, you need to hold out your arms. I'll preach from the jail.
Amen.
I'll tell you this. You get fired from your job, not only will the government take care of you, I guarantee you this church will take care of you. If you're being persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ, there are brothers and sisters that will stand by you and stand up for you.
Amen.
We just need some people that are willing to take the lead. You need to stand up for the truth and do as you've always done. Daniel went to the lion's den, for goodness sakes. The lion's den. And I believe there's some people that are involved in the enacting of these laws, just like that king was, that really wished that they weren't laws, and they will even be on your side. And once Christians stand up for what's right, I believe it could change this country.
Amen.
Don't blame the government. I believe it's our fault. Because Christianity and the cause of God has gone under worse governments, worse situations than these. If we want people of this world to be convinced that we are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be committed.
Amen.
100%. We have to have firm convictions. Listen, we need to influence this world. People need to be saved.
Amen.
If we were to give our lives, every person, every saved person in this church, if we should, every one of us, die right now for the cause of Jesus Christ, that it might be raised one inch, our lives would have been worth it. Now that's how our forefathers felt about it. That's a quote out of an old preacher from years ago during times of persecution. That if all of us at church, if all of us, all the Christians in this county were to die right now, that it might raise the cause of Jesus just one inch, our lives would have been worth that. The cause of Christ being raised one inch is worth that. To raise it one inch. We need to start putting first things first. Amen? This thing's bigger than us. I'm glad I'm saved. You know, sometimes I wish that somebody just locked me up so I could be persecuted for the cause of Christ. Yeah. Old John Bunyan was in there for 17, 18 years. I mean, just those guys, they'd preach from the bars. They love the Lord more than their own lives. Listen, you don't have an option. In the book of Revelation, it is commanded of you as a church member for you to love the Lord Jesus Christ and be willing to give your life for it. To love the Lord and be willing to make sacrifices even if it meant giving your life. That's commanded of every church member. And I really think that if God's people just get back to that kind of attitude, we'd have a great revival of lost souls getting saved. They'll see that there's really something to this. We're a lot like Gideon. You know, the Midianites, they were oppressing the people of Israel. Gideon was hiding in Ophrah. He was threshing wheat on a threshing floor behind a barn. He was hiding, and an angel appeared unto him and said, now, here he is cowarding, afraid of the oppressors of Israel. And the angel says, oh, thou mighty man of valor. I mean, he was a scaredy cat. Well, what did the angel see in Gideon? I'll tell you what the angel saw in Gideon. He saw God in him. And we may be cowarding some, but I'll tell you something. The angels of heaven see the potential in the church of Jesus Christ to rise out of the situation that we're in. Because God is with us. Amen. And if God be with us, who can be against us? Amen. I believe one can chase 1,000, just like in the Old Testament. Amen. If God is on our side. We're a lot like the army of Israel that when Goliath was down there in that valley. And we're all shaking in our boots. We need a little David to step forward. Say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying our God? March out there with a stone and sling. I pray that this younger generation will be that little David. We need some Goliath slain. Amen? We sure do. We're living in that day. As I was noticing these people marching against Wall Street, if we get a bunch of young saved people marching against the oppression of our government against Christianity, we might see some changes in this country. I want to say to each one of you here, if you have been saved by the grace of God, it's time for us to buckle down and do right. It's time for us to get on our knees and pray like we've never prayed before. It's time for us to stand up for the Lord. When the opportunity arises, it's time for us to witness to this lost and dying world that the cause of Christianity is the greatest cause on the face of the earth. Amen. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Amen? Amen? Let's lift up the cause of Jesus Christ with our lives and God will do the rest. He'll save our friends. He'll save our loved ones. He'll save our children. He'll save our grandchildren. If we'll just stand up for Jesus, Jesus will stand up for us.
If you're here today and you're lost and in your sins, this altar is open. Praise God, we live in a free country. This altar is open. There's power in that, amen. You want to come down here and seek the Lord? And you want to pray all afternoon? There's people here in this house that'll stay with you. We'll get on our faces before God. We'll pray on your behalf. Listen, if you've never been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ, come and be changed, because there's power in the blood. In the 136th Psalm, in verse 4, it tells us that he does so mad. It begins, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercies endure forever. Amen. Give thanks to the God of gods. He is the God of gods. Amen. He is the Lord of lords, and his mercies endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercies endure forever. To him that does great wonders among us. Listen, he's still doing great wonders among us. That word is in the present tense. I think he does great wonders when he saves the most wretched among us. I still believe God has the power to save a soul. Amen. Just like he saved Saul of Tarsus. He has the power to change the lives of those that are living the most wicked lives. He has the power to change people today. And we see him working great wonders among us. Every day we see a miracle. Amen. You know, it's a wondrous thing that he has preserved the church. He has preserved the truth. He has preserved the gospel. We've had many assaults against us. We went into the wilderness. The beast raged against us. The devil tried to destroy us. But praise God, the gates of hell have not prevailed against the church. Amen. We're still here. Amen. The truth is still being preached. The banner of truth is still raised. Praise God. He has done great wonders among us. He's still doing great wonders. There's still the truth of the gospel being preached today. There's still the true doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ that are still being stood up for today. He does great wonders among us every single day. It's a glorious thing that we're still serving the Lord. You know, it's an amazing thing when you start examining your life. Some of you are prone to jump from one thing to another. Some of you, before you got saved, you joined just about every church in Hendersonville. Some of you had dabbled in all kinds of different of paganism and pantheism and all different kinds of gods and religions. And then the Lord saved you and it stuck. Amen. You're still serving the Lord today. Listen, when His Spirit comes into your heart and in your life, it stays there. Yeah. You're still living the Christian life, or trying to. And that's an amazing, marvelous, wondrous thing. I think God wants to do wonders among us today, don't you? One of the most wonderful things He does is saving a sinner from his sins. It's a marvelous thing to be saved, to be born from above, to become a child of God. The Bible says that when you get saved, you move from being a child of the devil to where you become a child of God. You move from darkness into His glorious light. And I believe it's a wondrous thing to be saved. He is still doing wondrous things. And we should praise Him for that. We should thank Him for that. We should give glory unto Him for that. We should give Him all the praise and honor and glory that He deserves. He's still doing wondrous things today. We're going to sing another song. We're going to have an altar prayer. All right, we need to pray for our county. Yeah. Amen. We're going through some difficult times here. Some trying times. We need to pray for our churches. We need to pray for the people of God. We need to pray for the lost world. We want to pray for you. Listen, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, you need to be saved. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And we're going to call upon you to seek the Lord. I mean to pray. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to have to call on the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says that you must seek the Lord, that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart.
This altar call is for you. The Lord is reaching out to you. You know, we have a lot of people that say that they know the Lord. We have a lot of people that say that they have preached the Lord. We have a lot of people that say that they've done mighty works for the Lord. But Jesus said in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, on that day, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And the Lord will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, you not only need to know about the You don't not only need to know about the Lord, but you need to make sure that the Lord knows you. If you don't know the Lord, and if the Lord doesn't know you on that day, you will perish forever. It's time we get back to a Christianity that changes lives. No, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross. You got to deny yourself. You got to come follow me. Amen? Yes. Look, if you've never been saved, you may have professed Christianity, but there never was a change. There may have been a time in your life when you went forward and joined the church, but there never was a change. You may have even went into the waters of baptism or tried to take the Lord's Supper or done some works for the Lord, but there has never been an internal change in your heart and in your life. Seek the Lord today and be saved. Let's sing. Sing a song. Stand, please. Is there somebody here who's never been changed? There needs to be a wondrous work done in your heart. Let's sing. What are we singing here?
Come Ye Sinners.
Come Ye Sinners. Old song. Is there somebody here? We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. But you're going to have to pray for yourself. Amen? Let's sing. Somebody here needs to be changed. I tell you, Jesus will change you. Amen. He will rearrange your life. There's a transformation that takes place in you when the blood is applied to your heart. I tell you, it's real. Salvation is real.
Sick and sore.
What a blessing it is to know the Lord when He embraces you as His own and you know you're a child of God. The very God of heaven, He becomes your heavenly Father. And you know, oh, you just know that forever you're going to bask in His love.